Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I loved Easter morning here. I especially loved going to the graveyard and having all the little children there. We did something differently this year. We had bubbles, and we were waving bubbles up to heaven, and it was absolutely delightful. And after Easter, after I said, "The Lord is risen," the pastor took off. Because that's what pastors do after Easter, we take off. And it's kind of depressing when we go back after a few weeks. Sometimes I'll go to a different Christian church because I want to bolster that church, because I know the week after Easter, all the attendance is down, because everybody who's visiting goes home, and the pretty little Easter dresses go back in the closet for some other big occasion, and the flowers that are in back of the pulpit go away, and I'm looking at Easter in the rear view mirror. And unfortunately, that's how a lot of us, including myself, live. We look at Easter through the rear view mirror. We have our statements of faith. We say, yes, Easter happened. Yes, we serve a risen Savior, but Easter's far in the rear view mirror, and we're more like the psalmist who said, "My soul was in the realm of the dead," looking at Easter in the rear view mirror. John and his people, the John who wrote the book of Revelation, were looking at Easter in the rear view mirror. Any of the eyewitnesses had died. And those eyewitnesses to the resurrection, most of them didn't die of natural causes. Most of them were martyred. Some of them were martyred right out at the gate. You think of James, the brother of John. And within the first few years of Jesus' resurrection, he was gone. The people during John's time not only had to believe the message that was now carried down from generation to generation, but they had to believe it during a very dark time. Because the emperor who was ruling at the time was named Domitian. And Domitian decided it was not enough to rule the entire Roman Empire. He told his people that they had to start addressing him as the Lord God Almighty. Well, that didn't sit well with the Christian community. And so they refused. And you don't refuse a dictator. And so many of the people of that time were martyred. Many of them were persecuted. And John, this great prophet of God, was sent to the island of Patmos. And Patmos was not an idyllic island. Patmos was like an ancient Alcatraz. He was sent to a prison colony. And it was there that he was sent to languish. And it was there that he was looking at Easter in the rearview mirror, wondering if his church was going to survive to the next generation. Have you been looking at Easter through the rearview mirror? John's people were. So what do we do when Easter is a distant reality? When we sing the songs, "I serve a risen Savior, and yet I'm walking in the realm of the dead," we do what John did as he sat languishing on that prison island. He said something happened. And in Revelation 1, we read, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." You want to have Easter every day? There's a secret. Be in the Spirit. not only on the Lord's Day, but each and every day. What does being in the Spirit mean? It means that he reoriented his sights to the holy, to the transcendent, to all that cannot be seen. And so he reveled in prayer, and while he was in prayer, while he was in that realm of the holy, where the emperor could not touch him, that was where he was given a vision. And the vision was tens of thousands of angels around the throne, the Lamb who was slain being heralded not only by angels, but all creation itself. And what he was saying to his people was, it matters not what Domitian can do to us. We serve the God Almighty, God of all creation, the God whom the psalmist says loves to upend things. So if you're mourning, he'll turn it into dancing. If you're in the darkness, he'll give you light. This is the God we serve. And the way we access Easter is to be in the Spirit. And this is what we want to pass down to each generation. There are so many things we want for our children. And one of the things that blesses me every time there's a baptism is our young generation, the parents of these babies, who defy conventional wisdom. Because ever since I was a young person, I have been told, you shouldn't bring children into a world like this. It's such a terrible world. There's so much violence. I'm glad I had my kids early because I wouldn't want to bring them into the world at this time in history. And you young parents are saying, there's hope. And we're going to bring our children into this world and we're going to change the world. There's hope because we continually bring children into this world to bless it and to change it. And so when we bring our children in that hope into this world, into some places that are dark, we want to teach them certain things. Now, I know we want to teach them how to have a good living. I know we want to teach them that the world's their oyster, but that only goes so far. You remember when the psalmist had good times in Psalm 30 that was read, he said he was doing well and he was living large. And he said, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. And he thanked God, God, you made me a strong mountain. And then he said, and then something bad happened and I was dismayed. Our prosperity, our incomes, all the good things in life only go so far. We have to have something more. And the something more is to know that we are in the hands of Almighty God. We are surrounded by the grace of God, and we have to teach our children that there is this life, and then there's another realm. And I'm not talking about heaven. I'm not talking about life after death. I'm talking about the realm of the holy that is here right now. In this place, anytime we are in the Spirit, we enter the realm of the holy. I remember when my child was little, before he got too grown to be tucked in and sung to. Cherish the times when you can tuck your children in because they get to that point where they're too grown. But while he was little and I would tuck him into bed at night, I would sing a song. And it was, good night, my Father, put thoughts of Jesus in my head. Holy Spirit, comfort me, put angels all around my bed. And so he went to sleep with the images of angels. And this is what we want to pass on to our children, that we have what we see, which is wonderful, the things that God has given us on this planet, which are so beautiful. And then there is the realm of the unseen, where God will take his children, no matter what the situation is, and will give joy instead of mourning, will give beauty instead of ashes, will give grace instead of heartache. And so that's the promise that we pass down from generation to generation. And we join with John. around that throne, not a future promise. We hope for the future promise, but a present reality. We join those who are already around the throne, praising God, knowing that our lives are wrapped up in Him. Is Easter in your rearview mirror? Be in the Spirit, and the God of Easter, the God of resurrection, will make another appearance. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that these words and the reality of your risen presence would be here in this moment. And as we gather around your table, may we sense the very presence of God. And may you plant resurrection power within our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.